Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Did everybody get a handout? Everybody got a handout? Everybody else got one back there? Yeah? All right. Got one? All right. Good. All right, we're live. Let's find in our Bibles, Micah chapter 6. Like, how are we going to find Micah chapter 6? We're going to take a little time because it's down in there. It's only a small one. Micah chapter 6, Micah 6:8. Remember that song we used to sing? Get back to it. Brother Jonathan's going to be playing the guitar this morning for us. Oh, no, not yet. We've got to get some chords. We're going to get some chords, and he's going to help us with the guitar here soon. Soon is like we could get something going on. But, all right, is everybody there? Okay, let's go through it one time and just kind of refresh a little bit, and then we'll go back to it. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is... Oh, wait. You with me? I heard like me. Y'all with me? Or do we need to stand? We're good? Okay, all right, let's try it. Ready? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We got it? All right, let's do it again. Ready? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Okay, good. That was better. I had to record it. A fella I know, he's going to write the music for it. And he said, just record it for me. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to record it when at least I'm singing with you so it's not as, you know, weird in a room. Anyway, we'll get that going. Okay. Let's. I do want to mention something. Men, ladies, we'll talk about it back there. But the Berghammer family is having, going to have a crisis, is that Krista's going to be down for a while, and they're going to starve to death. No, but we want to provide. We're going to be providing meals for a couple weeks as Krista recovers from that. So, you know, a lot of women will be like, "No, I can do it anyway," and they will try to do it anyway. But what we want to try to do is say, "Hey, you don't have to do that." You know. So what we do is Monday through Friday we bring a meal. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then usually so there's six of them. Four boys that like to eat. When I had them at camp, they didn't eat a lot, but they were ready to go off and play. But maybe at home, they probably do eat a lot. But so the four boys, the two of them. And so what we do is Monday through Friday, and then, you know, you have a little extra with it, and then they have the leftovers for the weekend, this kind of thing. We do that for 2 weeks and see if they need more than that. So we've got a sign-up list if you would like to be a part of that. We put the name and the meal, and maybe, you know, the reason we put the meal, you don't have to say, I'm not sure, maybe it's something, but just so it's not, you know, spaghetti every day, right? Or, you know, so it's not steaks every day. You know, we don't want somebody bringing steaks every day, right? Okay, maybe that'd be okay. Anyway, so anyways, you put that, sign up on that, and we'll work that out. Okay. Let's get to this. Philippians chapter 2, it's there in your handout, but you may want to look it up in the Bible there yourself if you want to see it there in a way. We're continuing on. We talked about for the last couple weeks on the, what did we talk about? Somebody other than Jonathan say, what was the characteristic of building below the baseline we talked about? like the past 2 weeks where Brother Jonathan was teaching. Ouch. Oh, well, no, don't take the blame on that. Well, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. If that was always the case, people don't remember what you preach was a sign of a bad, then I would probably always be. No, we talked about, y'all talked about repentance. Remember that? Somebody else said, okay. Y'all with me this morning? Somebody say amen. Okay. Okay, y'all are live. Okay, we're going to be talking about this thing for the next couple weeks, Lord willing, this thing called humility. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, follow along with me there as I read it. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be, what's that word? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want to talk about and get this overview or stuff, but I want to just touch one thing here that we found there in verse 8. Is the thing I really want to talk about, humility, is what Jesus did is really that humility is something that we humble ourselves. There's two ways this happens. We either humble ourselves, or if somebody else does it, what do we call it? They humiliate you. Who here likes to be humiliated? Can I bring somebody up here and let's all just cast insults at them until they're fully humiliated? Who wants to? Nobody wants it. Does that sound like fun, Landon? You want to try that? No, I'm good, right? No, nobody wants to be humiliated, right? But what if we need to be dealt with this issue, which is something that our world is saturated with, is a thing called the opposite of humility. Pride. So, does anybody here, by just a show of hands, think you've ever had to struggle with pride? Yeah, right. We all have, right? This is, our world is saturated with it. Yet nothing will destroy our spiritual foundation so effectively as, watch this, undetected pride in our own lives. Undetected pride. You ever had somebody say, you just think you know everything, right? You ever had somebody say that something like, some kind of phrase like that? They just, you know, and you're like, oh, I think I'm fine, right? And you didn't realize it? I'm telling you. Either we humble ourselves or somebody along the way is going to humiliate you, right? I would rather any day. I hate humiliation. Hate it. I don't think there's anything worse to the human nature than to be humiliated. And you'll see some people, it doesn't bother them. They laugh about it, right? No. They are inside like, I'm going to kill you later on, right? You know what I mean? Maybe not literally. But there's a thing, nobody likes to be humiliated. Am I right? So either we humble ourselves or we get humiliated. It's like, well, I'd rather just do neither one. Yeah. Doesn't really work like that, does it? So God calls us to walk in humility. And so He instructed us to allow the mind of Christ, described in Philippians 2 here, we've talked about, as a mind of humility, that mind to be in us. So in this lesson, we're going to look at the characteristics of a person that walks in humility. Okay, here's the introduction. One of the desires of every growing Christian. Now what? I said one of the desires of what kind of Christian? Of every growing Christian is to become more like Christ. Right? That's the desire of a growing Christian. In fact, as we build below the baseline, which we've talked about this, we've got some other folks here, and so we're talking about building below the baseline. We're talking about building in our life in those areas that everyone can't see. Right? We talk about the iceberg. The iceberg is the piece that sticks out. I found out this while I was up there looking at these glaciers. Whatever you see above water, this is what the naturalists say, the people that study this stuff, and they say whatever you see above water is typically about 10%. The weight, particularly that which is floating in the water, pulls the rest of it down. So what you see is 10%. Think about that in our lives. What people see in your life about your Christianity is actually only 10%. I mean, just giving an illustrative thought on that, because what's below the baseline is really where what feeds the rest of it. If something comes out of our life, it's what's already really in our heart and our soul, which is coming up out of us. So, so if we're going to build below the baseline, our goal is to cooperate with God's work in conforming us to His image. Somebody read there Romans 8:29.
For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
I want to say this as we really get started on this thing about being conformed to the image of Christ. Maybe our thought is, I just want to be me. I don't want to be like anybody else. I want to be like me. What's wrong with being like me? It's kind of maybe a fair statement, isn't it? I want to be like me. Why do I have to be like Christ? I mean, it's kind of a silly thing, but I want to think about this just for a moment, is to grab a hold of this. Can I tell you, me wanting to be like me has an end that is full of trouble. No, I got this figured out. A lot of people that say, most people, every person that says, I've got this figured out and does it on their own, ends up in a world of hurt. So imagine I have a tool. I wish I should have brought something like this. As a matter of fact, I do have it. So I've got some tools here today. I don't want to call this a man's toolbox. I want to call this kind of just a little kids' toolbox. But anyway, we got this massive hammer. Okay, it's a little hammer. So you can do a lot of things with a claw hammer. There's a lot of tools on this. And so one of the most valuable things you can do is you can put nails into a wall. Right? You take it like this and you can put nails into the wall and it really works good. I mean, kind of bashes the nail, right? You'd say, no, that's not the way to do it. No, this handle, it's really meant to hold your hand in there real good, right? And when you're holding your hand in there real good, you can hit it, and you got a good grip on it. And you're like, somebody comes up and say, buddy, you got that all messed up. And so you kind of take it out of the hand. Watch here if you do this. And they say, no, I don't think I need to do that. I like to do it. I like my way. You know why I like my way? Because I've been doing it my way for a long time. And my way works. Could I put a nail in like this? I could. I mean, about one out of every three. Right? And you're like, why is it taking you so long? Well, it just takes time to hammer nails, you know, right? And you say, why don't you just do this the way that it actually was? Can I use this phrase, like the way it was designed to be used? Or what happens is you kind of get a nail in there kind of a little crooked, and you're like, I need to get that out. No, I've got a way of getting it out. I get this here, and I hit it on the side till it pops out. You're like, well, you know, there's this thing here. If you just put that, it actually, the leverage, it's actually designed for the leverage to just, and it's real easy. Nah, I'm doing it my way. I want to be like me. Okay, you see the illustration there? So We can say, why do I have to be conformed to God's image? Why? Because God showed us what the perfect way to get through the design of this life. And it's not like, well, we just have to be like Christ because we don't get to be. He just wants all of us to be like that. No, what God is trying to get, gave us an example of how to survive in this world, how to make it in this world, how to, more than that, how to thrive in this world with peace, love, joy, happiness, success, all the things. And many times what we want to say is, you know what? I want to just keep doing it my way. Because I've been doing it my way, and my way works. Does our way work? Yes. Sure it does. We're all alive. We're breathing. We're here today. Most of us got ourselves dressed. Some of y'all had somebody to help you, tell you what to wear. What I'm saying is, our way works to survive. But is that all God wants from us? It's just survival to get through. So he tries to show us, and he showed us what the way is. So when we're talking about conforming to the image of Christ, I'm telling you, I promise you, it's what's going to be better for us. It really is. It's what's better for us. So with this goal in mind, I want us to notice the trait of Christ revealed in Philippians chapter 2. Somebody read there Philippians 2. There's going to be a lot of verses today. Y'all going to have to jump in there, okay? Philippians 2, 5. Go.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ.
Okay, let this mind be in you, which was also in him. We are to have the same mind as Christ. So what is that mindset? What is the same mind? So the following verses here, eloquently, which means say it well, describe it as the mindset, the mind of Christ is the mindset of what? What we're talking about? Humility. It's the mindset of humility. Okay? Okay, somebody grab this passage. We've already read these, but I want us to go grab them again. Verse 6 through 8. Okay, good. So the definition of humility is this. Think about this definition of humility is this. Freedom from pride and arrogance. But also humbleness of mind. It's like, how do you define a word with a word? Well, because it's the form of the word, okay? A modest estimate of one's own worth. Freedom from pride and arrogance. And this thing that says to think of ourselves, to estimate ourselves in a modest way of what we think we're really worth. You ever heard somebody walk around and talk about how great they are? Right? Well, I could do this and I could, and they talk about, yeah, I'm really good with this and I'm really good with that. And by the time they pump themselves up, they could never achieve what they've said about themselves. Right? You know, I really am good at this. Okay. All right. Well, you know, no, I've done it many times. And by the time they get up there, there's no way they could ever actually do as great as they may be good at something, but by the time somebody lifts themselves up, by the time you get there, it's like, wow, you could never accomplish that. I've heard this about certain men. I can remember this preacher I heard about for a long time. Oh, man, he is the greatest preacher, this guy. And I was so excited to finally go here and preach. So excited. I thought, man, this guy is going to be phenomenal. And I went there, and I listened. I'm thinking, by the time he was just right under God, by the time in my mind, I was a young guy, you know, and I thought, man, this. And I went and heard him preach, and I thought, well, he's no different than my pastor. I was really kind of so disappointed that he just was a regular preacher. Yeah, and I'm talking to Sam Davison is who I was thinking about. And man, he was like, man, this guy's great. You know, and I would say this now, he's a great preacher. You got to hear him. And I still think that. But the point was he wasn't living in his own pride. Other people were doing this. So it was a little different deal. But sometimes we get this kind of thing. Humility is really this thing is esteeming ourselves in a more modest evaluation of our own worth. So the opposite, we talked about the opposite of humility is pride. And pride runs deep in our human nature. It's not so easily rooted out. Right? Pride is not easy to get out of our life. Thankfully, God's Word teaches us much about this thing of pride, humility and pride. We've got several of these Proverbs here. Okay, start with the first one, Proverbs 18:12. Somebody read that for me, please. Good. And then Proverbs 22:4. And 11:2. Yeah. And then 16:18. Yeah. So pride is like a small crack that begins to develop in a house's foundation. You ever had a cracked foundation? Seen a house that it begins with a small little thing. Matter of fact, at first you may not even barely notice it. It's almost undetectable, and it begins. But when you begin to see it, if it remains undealt with, what does it do? Yeah, it grows. It gets more and more and more. It's just kind of the nature of it. Eventually, something catastrophic happens, such as, you know, maybe a flooded basement. Right? Or a rotted foundation. You ever had to mess with a house that's had a rotted foundation? Or a flooding that all of a sudden it washed, a place where it washed out and all of a sudden it dropped? It is probably one of the most expensive fixes. Because you now have to refirm up the whole house. You know, you lift it up so you can fix that. It's a huge, huge undertaking that started with really a small crack that could have been dealt with. But when it's let to go, it turns into something. It gets out of control. So here's what pride does. Pride puts self in first place. I want y'all to listen to this, because what I'm saying here is how we detect pride in ourselves. Pride puts self in first place. It can reveal itself in, watch this, in things that we post on social media. I'm talking about, y'all always be posting stuff on social media? No. But maybe the younger guys, I don't know. But it can be, I don't know if you ever did this. I at times I would get on social media and I would try to write. I would see, somebody would say something, and I'm going to say something. And then I'm reading it, I'm like, no, delete. Because there's no way what I'm thinking doesn't come across as... And you know, sometimes what I realize? That sounds very arrogant. It sounds... And thankfully, most of the time, I just delete it. Nowadays, I don't even try to... I know how I'm going to end. It's going to end in a delete, so I don't even start. Because I'm more interested in reaching people than proving myself right. You understand? So we find this thing, though, but pride is really putting self first and getting us in that position. And so we could do some of the things, but not only just social media, but maybe the things that we say about others. One of the greatest ways that we deal with pride is we talk about how somebody isn't as good as me, right? Yeah, they do that, but they're always blowing it. They're not very good at that. It's like, Why is it such an interesting thing that we talk about how bad somebody else is, and somehow that automatically lifts us up, right? So instead of us being on a level ground, I think if I push them down, it lifts me up. But it really doesn't, for all, those on the other receiving end of it, it really doesn't work like that, does it? When somebody begins to talk negative about somebody, it actually, what I find, at least in this point in my life, it actually lowers that person that's saying that. Like, why would you put so much effort in degrading somebody else's work? Just do something that you're going to do, right? Show yourself in that way. But we find this kind of thing, not only the way we say about other people and so forth, even in the way we walk and we live, those kind of things. But pride, here's the thing. Pride is almost always easier to see in others than it is in self. I mean, if I said, I want you right now to think about, somebody you work with, a family member, somebody at school, somebody, that you know. Think about somebody that's prideful. You could probably sit down and write a few names down, right? And then if I said, how many of those people are you more prideful than? You'd be like, nah, I'm good. Because it's easy. Isn't it easy to see in other people? It just sticks out. Matter of fact, we think they're prideful when they're probably not a lot of times, right? And we're so looking at that. Well, they just think they know everything. Well, maybe they are smart. Maybe they know some things. Is it okay for somebody to be smarter than you? but here's the thing. It's when we get caught up and notice in other people's pride, it's almost always a sure sign that we are kind of, in some sense, nurturing some undetected pride in our own life. And so because I think so highly of myself, I'm going to look at others and think why they do it. So I find this as a kind of maybe just as a human behavior principle. We often despise some of the things in other people that we actually do. Do you know what I'm saying? We can despise people when they do this. And, I just hate when people do that. And in fact, and somebody look at you like, you do that all the time. No, I don't. And this whole thing is because I think there's some form of that we don't like that thing in ourselves, but we don't know how to deal with it. But it aggravates us in somebody else. This is why sometimes we'll think, why you would think the person that has experienced some pain or some humiliation, right? And they've experienced it, they're like, that would be the last person that would humiliate somebody else, right? But actually, that's not the way it happens. Bullies are almost always have been bullied, right? They've already been bullied, and so now they go back at it. Why is it? It just seems as part of the pride, it's the way that seems to keep going around. So, as we're going to work through this study, I want to encourage you to set aside thoughts of the pride that you see in others. You think, Pastor, you think you're full of it. You think you know everything. Set aside what you think about me and others, and specifically focus on your own need for humility. Because can I tell you what? I need humility in my life. I need it. Okay? But you're not going to help me get it. Because I'm supposed to humble who? You. I'm going to humble you. No. I humble myself, right? And you need what Jesus Christ did is he humbled himself. And so the greatest thing that we can do is not figure out how other people have pride, but find that undetected pride in our own life. And so when we do that, we're going to get and as we get through that, ask the Lord this to reveal to you the pride in your own life and help you develop humility below the baseline. I want us to do something just for a minute, just for 10, 15 seconds, whatever. And let's just each just take a moment and ask the Lord that. Lord, help me. We just can do this privately, quietly. Lord, help me as we think about this and show me. King David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Right? See if there be any wicked way in me. Right? Let's just pray. Just take a moment for yourself on this one. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us as we go through these things. And Lord, this is a challenging task for each of us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the willingness to examine our own hearts and to truly look in eternally what's needed in our lives. Lord, that this might not just be a lesson for us to hear, but a truth for us to receive. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, I'm sorry, I didn't get to James chapter 4, verse 10. So let me read that one. Okay. humble yourselves. Listen, what are the characteristics and actions of a person seeking to walk in humility? That's what we're going to talk about. Number one is this. Seek a walk of unity. A walk of unity. We have there verses 1 and 2. Somebody read that, please. Yes. So a humble person is a peacemaker. Someone who wants to walk in unity with others. You ever seen people, they just seem to be disagreeable with everything? They're disagreeable with, oh, I just don't like that. Well, what would you like? I don't know, I just don't like that. You ever known people like that? Maybe you are people like that. You're like, I don't know anybody like that. Yeah, you're it, right? So disunity permeates in our culture. Am I right? I mean, if any other day than today, this is it. It's what feeds the news and the magazine tabloids. I mean, you see this everywhere. Talk radio hosts, internet bloggers, they're all good at raising issues. It's how they get read, right? It's how they get readers. They talk about how terrible everybody else, and it's just constantly. I just marvel at our politics. It doesn't matter who's in the office, they are the worst person that this planet could ever have. Right. And then we get, a blue president, then we get a red one. It's like, oh, man, it doesn't matter what level it is. It's everything they do is terrible. How can everything they ever do be terrible? Right. When half the country says, hey, let's have them have another go at it. But there's this whole thing of being disagreeable. It's just what I'm saying. You say, Pastor, you say we shouldn't disagree. That's not my point. My point is that we ought to be seeking unity, particularly among the brethren, right? Particularly among the brethren. So, but these folks, they're great at keeping strife or gossip alive, but they're not so great at giving solutions. You ever seen some of these hot topics, right? These hot button issues, and it kind of starts to fade out. And they want to just stir it back up, right? They want to keep this going because it's not interesting if it doesn't keep going. They're going to lose. So we kind of see this kind of situation. Humility, on the other hand, looks for not the problems but solutions. Hey, if I could just have a disclaimer right here, I think pointing out problems is an okay idea. I do. There's a problem. I don't want to say, well, I didn't want to say anything, Pastor, because I just didn't want to be. No. Pointing out a problem that there's a real problem is good. But what should come along with the problem? A solution. Right? Now, it may not be a perfected solution, but at least an idea for a solution. It's easy to find the problems. People come to me, well, we need to do something about this. You know what I would say a lot of times? I agree. We need to do something about that. What are we going to do? What do you think we should do? Well, I don't know. So you think because I'm pastor, I know how to deal with the problems that ever arise in church or among people? Good night. Most of the time the best solution is just, hurt people. No, that's not the best solution. The easy one. Well, just tell them they don't do that anymore. You can't do this. And I mean, people, I'm telling you, there's people that would have a pastor going around like a nun with a ruler, right? You know what I'm saying? Stop it! And then, what we'd have is instead of this side, we'd have this side. Because people would leave and like, I don't want to, anyhow. Solutions. This is what humility looks for, solutions. Humility will be quick to admit this. Watch this. I was wrong. And I'm sorry about that. That's what humility says. Pride hates that. You know what pride hates? Pride doesn't hate so much saying that. I'm sorry. We make this, TV or something. I'm sorry. It makes it this whole thing to say I'm sorry. It's not the saying I'm sorry that's actually the hard part. What's the hard part for somebody filled with pride is to say that I didn't do something right. I'm not the master of everything I ever try to do. That's where the design of humility and pride gets into this kind of area. Humility endeavors to bring unity and to work out the problems. Humility will seek like-mindedness. Let's get to that place. Humility, here's the thing. Humility recognizes that God is not as interested in assigning blame as He is in solving the problem. Whose fault is it? Do you ever like to spend a little time trying to figure out whose fault it was? I do. Like, why do you do that? I don't know. It's like part of me. And then, you know what I have to do? I'm in there like, well, I think it could have. And you don't have to, you know, if you're talking, you know what we sometimes do? You know what? It doesn't matter whose fault it was. Right? And don't you hate when you kind of caught yourself kind of going down that track and then you're like, wait a minute, that's not the point. Okay, we've recognized the problem. Let's find a solution. And we'd have a better solution if it wasn't your fault. You know, if you didn't do that. You're right. No. And this is what pride wants to focus on. And humility says and comes to the place that said what God's most interested in isn't where we came from, but where we're going. Right? And this is the thing. So a humble Christian's motive for humility is deeper than a dislike of conflict. Okay, it's more than just a dislike of. I just don't like. Now I don't. I hate conflict. Honestly, I dislike conflict. But humility is more than. You know why I don't like conflict? It's people are hollering. They're angry. I hate it. One of the most uncomfortable things in the world for me is when a husband and wife are arguing in front of me. I don't know what to do with that. I'm like, you know, playing, right? Y'all serious? What? When a husband belittles his wife in front of me, I'm thinking, what is wrong with you, man? You know, it's my first thought, what is wrong with you? And the wife snaps back and I'm like, and I want to say to the dude, that's what you get, right? And now she's embarrassed you because you humiliated her. I'm thinking, what are you doing? And I just don't, and you know, you watch something. I hate conflict. It's uncomfortable. And I don't like it. It gets loud. People get angry. And I just hate. But humility is more, I don't like conflict either, so I must be humble. No. Humility is deeper than that. It is rather this, it's a reflection of the work of God Himself taking place below the baseline. It's God doing something in our life. Not just, I don't like that situation. It's God doing something in our life to find out that there's something better. There's a better way. And when I say a better way, I don't mean just, what's nicer? No, it's where hope and peace. Don't you like to have peace in your home? No, I like conflict. If you like conflict, something's messed up. You got mental issues. That's what I'm saying. If you like conflict, right? You like, and I'm not talking about competitively in sports. I'm talking about if you like to be at variance with people, there's an issue. So look at in Philippians 2, we find two aspects. We're out of time, but I want to just two aspects of a Christian who is seeking a walk of unity. A, it is based on our fellowship with Christ. It's based on our fellowship with Christ. Somebody read Philippians 2:1.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy.
So Paul begins his plea for humility in the church at Philippi. As he's beginning, he reminds his readers of what they've already experienced in Christ. Okay? And so he said, listen, if you've already done this, you've already received all this thing, listen, it is these four attributes always available to us in Christ that should compel us to give the same to others. And I'm just going to mention, we have this thing of consolation. He said, if there's any consolation in Christ. When he says, if there's any consolation in Christ, he's not saying if, like, well, if there would be any, he's saying because there is. It's really the phrase, because there's this consolation in Christ. He talks about also there's love. If there be any comfort of love. Okay, does the Lord love us? Do we have to doubt on that? No, it doesn't mean, well, if He loves you, then no. This is what he's saying is that because He does. You know, he's talking about this thing, the fellowship of the Spirit. If there be any fellowship of the Spirit. And then he says on the last one, the fourth one, if there be any bowels and mercies. Bowels and mercies. That sounds kind of strange to us, right? We're going to look at those next week and define those a little bit better and deal with these things. But it's based on humility. It's based on, first of all, fellowship in Christ. Okay? It's not what we are alone, but because of our fellowship in Christ. We don't want just a lack of conflict. Yes, we want that. But that's not humility. Humility comes from the place of being one with Christ. So let's get to that next week. And what was going to be a couple weeks will probably be about four. Because that's just... Sorry. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. Thankful for your word. We're thankful for our Savior. And Lord, as we dig into this area in our lives, it really is challenging for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us that... Lord, maybe through this time spent here in Philippians chapter 2, Lord, that we would, Lord, see something that would be a help to us, Lord, each one of us individually, that would be an encouragement and a direction and would set us on the right track. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise for it now in Jesus' name.